Praise God. It's good to be in his house today. I'm going to start off today with song number 240, Oh, the Way of the Cross Leads Home.
Oh, the way of the cross leads home. Yes, the way of the cross leads home. It's sweet to know as I onward go. Oh, that's the way of the cross leads home. Oh, the way of the cross leads home. Yes, the way of the cross leads home. It's sweet to know as I onward go.
Gather together with my brothers and sisters. I love you today, my God. I love you so much, and I'm so thankful, my Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, my God. Be with us here, Lord. Let us feel your spirit, my God. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, my Lord. Praise you, my God. Praise God. You may be seated.
Well, I want to say I made my reservation, and it was 45 years ago today. And I want to thank God for my spiritual birthday today. And 45 years ago, God called us to come to Alaska and check out a church. And we packed up everything we could pack up into our truck, including our 1.5-year-old, and we drove to Alaska. And I have to say, after 45 years, I still get excited to come to church. I look forward to coming to church. My life rotates around coming to church. I plan for Sundays and Wednesdays and Friday night prayer and all the other things that I get to do with God's people. I'm so thankful for that. Thankful for our Friday night prayer that we just had and just what a beautiful time it was with God and his people. And I just love him so much. I love everything about God, and I'm just so thankful that he saw that I had a love for the truth in 45 years. I mean, it seems like it has not been that long, but I'm so thankful that God, in his mercy and his love, filled me with his Holy Spirit, and I will never, ever stop thanking him for that every single day of my life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Man. How can you top that? But I pray that I'll be able to stand here and say 45 years from now, that I'm thanking God for him bringing me to the church. Came straight from work, kind of tired, but I had to come praise God. Had to get here, you know, I had to run here. Got a text this morning from my daughter. I lost a brother to cancer this morning. And it was so surreal because he's such a great brother. And we were both in an addiction at the same time. And God delivered me from mine. And unfortunately, he died in his. And it just makes you grateful for from where I've come from to where I'm at right now. And just, you know, it was very sad for me. You know, it's still kind of surreal for me, but I'm so grateful, you know, for being here, for being in this church, for the 5 years of just being here. Someone asked me, but they were kind of asking me sarcastically, so after 5 years, what do you have to show for it being in Alaska? Because I may not be where people want to place me, but I'm definitely where God wants me to be. And I'm so thankful for that, you know. God, I'm so thankful for that. So, you know, things aren't always about monetary things. You know, I'm healing emotionally and spiritually. And God's given me this great woman in my life that I'm believing that's coming soon. And, you know, when you wait on God, you know, things are so much better. You know, when you watch the process of what God does in your life, it just makes you more appreciative of the things that's coming. And I just continue to know that God can't lie. So the things he's promised me, I'm going to wait for it. I'm going to see the goodness of God in my life. And so I'm just thankful to be here today.
Praise God.
There's not a day goes by where I'm not so thankful for what God has done for me and his blessings that he's given me in my life and those around me and this church. And I'm so thankful for all that he has done and blessed me with and give me the desires of my heart. And I really want to thank him for something special he did for me this week. I had to have emergency surgery to get my appendix removed, and through the whole thing was this peace that was, it was a peace of God. There's just no other way to describe it. You know, I'm looking around at people around me, and it, you know, and I felt really bad for them because, you know, they weren't in that state of peace. They didn't have the peace of God. And I just really was reminded that God's promises, he exceeds his own promises sometimes. And I believe that in this medical situation, he gives you a certain special kind of peace that I just really can't describe it. And I just tell God that I do love him so much tonight. And my thanks and gratitude are beyond measure, and I praise him tonight.
Just going to add my thanks as well for being able to be here today and to be with all of you and with our newest little brother. So excited for all that God has in store for us as a family, and we're going to be having a dedication here in a minute for the new little baby. But before we do that, I'm going to sing song number 333, Where Could I Go?
Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing go. Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the
being there right beside us, my God. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, my God. Praise God. So we are we're gonna jump right into the choir here, I think. Make sure we get that. Give me a second, Ben. Okay.
His delight. Yahweh God is with us. He watches day and night. We are God's holy people, a royal chosen people, separated to his name among
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, my God. Glory, Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Sean.
Whenever we stand together in privilege of a baby dedication, I can't help but in my mind, mentally and spiritually and emotionally, turn back the hands of time to 44 years ago. And I just thank God that he's been with me all that time as a mother. And I want to thank him so greatly, as we do oft times, our grandparents, all the grandparents here. There just is no way to understate the appreciation that I have to God that I've got my grandgirls right here under my wing. Now Lily's gone on, and that's what we raise them to do, is be responsible and take the information that we've so greatly desired to give them and make the right choices in Jesus' name. But to have all three girls close by it's a privilege that I think of many, many times during the day, and I never want to take it for granted, and I just want to thank God for all of that.
While Sean's walking over to Michelle, I'm going to double dip on testimonies. I forgot I was going to give God my thanks for the lessons and the joy that comes from being a father and having a little girl that's here in our church and is this Friday night prayer. Friday came, I was at work wrapping things up, and it was, you know, your standard crazy Friday trying to get out the door. And Adela was so excited to come over for Friday night prayer that we couldn't even go home first. So we were here at like 5:30 before everybody else got here. But we started it off strong. I just want to give God the thanks for to have that and to watch her grow and to learn and to just be more in God is awesome. So thankful for it.
Thank you, Jesus. I also wanted to stand and thank my God. I have a heart full of thanksgiving today. I want to thank him for the privilege of being a Sunday school teacher. I want to thank him. Just he gives me the works that he does. I am so grateful to have them. And I want to thank him. We had a Sunday school outing yesterday, and it just, everything about it was so great. And I love the time that we get to have with the Sunday school kids, and just to see them together and always in God's spirit. And I just seeing them interact and play with each other is such a blessing. And I want to thank him for my Sunday school co-teachers, and just what a blessing it is the way we work things out. And I just, again, like seeing other, just the way we all work together in God to accomplish God's work. It's a blessing. It's a beautiful thing. It's amazing. I mean, sometimes there are complications, but God always works it out, and I want to thank him for that. And I want to thank him too for the works that we do have in him, because it's in doing those works side by side with your brothers and sisters that you grow in God, that you grow closer to them. And I want to thank my God for that. I want to thank my God for this family. I think it's such a blessing that Carter James is being born into this family, same like all the young ones we have here, because truly this is a family that loves one another, holds one another up, is always happy to pray for one another and do whatever we can for one another. And that is not something you have in this world. And I want to thank my God that I've been the recipient of that. And I want to thank my God that I have the privilege of being able to provide that for my brothers and sisters. I just, oh my God, so much.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to sing our last song before Paul comes up and brings us the word of God. I'm going to sing The Ark Is Coming Down the Road. And as I was picking songs, the second verse on this, sing on, pray on, we're gaining ground. Soon we'll all be heaven bound. I just resonated with me, and just excited for the fact that we are, it feels like we are moving forward and we're making those steps. So worship with me. If you're in Sunday school, you can be dismissed now. It's coming, hallelujah. Ark is coming down the road. It's coming, hallelujah. The ark is coming down the road. I do believe without a doubt, the ark is coming down the road. God's people have a right to shout. The ark is coming down the road. It's coming, hallelujah. The ark is coming down the road. It's coming, hallelujah. The ark is coming down the road. Sing on, pray on, we're gaining ground. The ark is coming down the road, and soon we'll all be heaven bound. Ark is coming down the road. It's coming, hallelujah. Ark is coming down the road. It's coming, hallelujah. The ark is coming down the road. Sing on, pray on, we're gaining ground. Ark is coming down the road, and soon we'll all be heaven bound. Ark is coming down the road. It's coming, hallelujah. Ark is coming down the road. It's coming, hallelujah. The ark is coming down the road. It's coming, hallelujah. The ark is coming down the road. It's coming, hallelujah. The ark is coming down the road. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I love you, my Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, my God. I praise you, Lord. Praise God. Praise you, my Lord. You please remain standing while Paul comes and brings us the word of God.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Welcome, everybody, to the Apostolic Assembly tonight. Welcome our visitors, our live stream folks. We're glad to have you aboard today. We're just here to worship God and draw closer to Him and to each other and learn a little bit more about what He's really like and what we're like. Because this is what this word is all about. It shows us what we're like also. Amen. I got stickers all over the place. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for all their prayers. I wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for the prayers. I do appreciate them, and prayer works. Amen. We're known as a praying people, and we never want to forget that, how important that is and how God blesses our efforts. Some of the notes I got. I got notes everywhere tonight. We'll get there, though. There we go. Yeah, we want to keep praying for all our brothers and sisters. I've got a couple people traveling. Long distance, and you never know what could happen. And I want to thank God that He's always got a watchful eye on us also. And He knows what's going to happen before it happens. So we just want to keep close to Him and to each other, and definitely daily pray for each other. Amen. I mean, this is a family and a brotherhood and a sisterhood, and we can't forget that. It's something you have to work at, too. This is just in name only is not going to get it. We have to make the effort. We have to make the effort to fight the fight, because we're in a fight. And Satan doesn't want us to get along good. He doesn't want this body of believers to synchronize and work the way they're supposed to work. He's always there to try to cause a little confusion, a little doubt, a little anger between a couple people. We don't have to allow that to happen. Amen? We got the power to not do that. I got a little note here, but you know, we get used to daily life, get up in the morning, do what you got to do, and go back to bed at night and all that, but the clock is ticking. The clock's ticking. He's coming back. And we've been saying that for so many years that it gets to be kind of old hat, but it's going to happen. And we got to be ready. And it takes a conscious effort every day to be ready. And you got to be willing to make the fight, because it's going to be a fight all the way to the end. It's going to be a fight. It's going to get tougher as it goes by. So that's why God wants us to pray and study every day and stay full of the Holy Ghost, so we have the power. Because we're going to need all the power we can get to stand in these last days. Amen. Our example in this Word of God is the best weapon we got out there as far as winning souls to God. You can talk about God all you want, but people want to see action. I got to witness to a couple of doctors and several nurses when I was in the hospital. And I've noticed lately, just probably in the last 6 months especially, because God just opens up a lot of doors for me to talk to people. I mean, it just happens. It's usually a daily occurrence. If I'm out and about, it's a daily occurrence. But the number one thing that I was getting back from a lot of people was, yeah, I was raised a Christian and this and that, but I'd never seen anybody really living it. I've seen a lot of hypocrites. You know what? A hypocrite is probably the most destructive thing that could be in the church. You go out and tell somebody that you got something going with God, and you, 5 minutes later, you're doing something that's unnatural. That's not right. They're watching you. They're watching everything you say and do after that. And if we don't live it, shame on us. I mean, that brings a lot of reproach, not only on God, but, well, His church. And you could take 100 people that are just doing their very best to live for God, and have one person slip and fall a little bit, that's the only one they see. Satan will make sure that's the only one they see. We're obligated to live a holy life. I mean a holy life. Not when it's convenient, no matter where we're at. You know, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to slip and say something once in a while. It isn't quite right. Be quick to admit it. Just, hey, I'm sorry I said that. Be humble. Humility with God is a big deal. You can write your own ticket with Him if you're humble. All you got to do is, yeah, I'm wrong. I mean, you might even win somebody to God like that. I brought several people to church because I had to tell them I was sorry. One guy especially. I mean, I only had the Holy Ghost a little while, and he knew exactly how to punch my buttons. Finally, I said, I didn't do anything real aggressive to him, but I said a couple of things that I wasn't. I got the Holy Ghost squeezed anyway when I did it. So I went to him about 20 minutes later and says, hey, man, I just lost it. I was tired. I started making excuses for the way I acted and all that. I said, I don't have any excuses. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the power not to act like that. I'm sorry. And I promise you I'll try my very best never to do that again. And he came to church with me the next time we came to town. So you got to, it's not hard to humble yourself. It's just getting started to do it. After you humble yourself for a while, we're just flesh and blood. Who are we? I mean, who do we think we are sometimes? I mean, we think we're above reproach. We don't make any mistakes. We're Christians. If we do, we try to cover them up. Well, yeah, if it wasn't for this, it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have acted like that, or I wouldn't have said that. It was because of them. We don't have any excuses. Amen? We don't have any excuses. And so this is what the message is about today. There's several things it's about, but one of the top ones is about is living a holy life in front of this world. No matter where we're at, what we're doing, or who we're with. And we've got too much from God not to do that. If we can't live the life that the Bible teaches we're supposed to live, who's going to do it? I mean, we got more than most people. We got everything it takes to live a holy life. Everything. We've been taught every bit of the word of this Bible. How it applies to our life. It's us. We have to look at ourselves. That's what we have to do. And line ourselves up to this every day. That's our obligation. If we say and do things in this life that are not godly, we're hypocrites. That's what, and Jesus is really, really, really down on hypocrites. I mean, I didn't go to all them scriptures about hypocrites, but it was a really big deal then, and it's a really big deal now. We don't ever want to be called a hypocrite. Them guys say all kinds of stuff, but they don't do it. That's another thing. When you say you're sorry about something, say it, mean it. Because people know when you're not sincere. You believe that? People know when you're just, it's lip service. When you humble yourself and you're sorry for something, they know you're sorry. When you just say, yeah, I'm sorry, they know that too. It's that humbling sincerity that touches people's heart. That lip service doesn't do anything for them but drive them farther away from you. You believe that? It's true. Just talking about that, that's just one of the notes I had. We are to be a humble people. We are. It's just the bottom line. And let's look into the Word of God and see what a real Christian should be. That's my opening line. And that word Christian was not always a positive word. It was look at them people. But in this day and age, it is a positive word. If you're a real Christian, you've got a positive aura about you. You don't react and act like people of the natural do. That's what, you know, people can be around you forever and watch how you act and interact with them in situations on your job or whatever. I mean, just school, you name it. You don't know what they're thinking. I remember when I first came up here, I seen a couple of things and I thought, man, I wished I could act like that. And I knew I couldn't. I didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. It wasn't because I looked at it like that. It's just that I tried to live like that and I couldn't do it. I didn't realize just how much power that Holy Ghost gives you. But if you work around people for a long time, I've had people come to me 20 years after the last time I worked with them and tell me different things that happened on the job and how we interacted with each other and with the client or whoever, and tell them how impressive that was to them. So you never know. God's always working. He's always working. And His word doesn't go out void. Amen. Oh, here's another note that I got to bring this out. How do we treat visitors in this church? Are we gracious? Are we kind? Are we polite? Are we civil? Are we well-mannered? Are we tactful? Are we benevolent? Are we diplomatic? Are we considerate and thoughtful and kind? God shows His gracious compassion for us when we're sinners yet. You think about how, when we didn't have the Holy Ghost, how God treated us then. He didn't crush us. He just waited for us to so He could get our attention. But He didn't push people off in the corner. I mean, God had to reach down and pick me up. I couldn't get up. But that's not the case for everybody. I mean, there's some good people out there that just haven't had a chance yet, haven't heard what we know. But we need to be gracious. When they walk through them doors, I don't care what's going on outside. When they walk through them doors, we give 100% to make them feel at home, that they're loved and they're cared for, and we're interested in their life. Amen? I mean, amen, because that's a big deal. I couldn't sleep all week because of that right there. Don't take what coming across this pulpit lightly, because it's straight from God. I'll tell you that right now. God's been putting a lot of heavy stuff on my heart about this body of people. And if we're going to be what He wants us to be, we're going to have to get in line here, all the way in line. And we owe it to anybody that walks through them doors, I don't care who they are, to be what we're supposed to be. When they walk out them doors, it's their choice to go and do whatever they want to do. But while they're in here, when they're in the presence of God in this sanctuary, we go the extra mile. We're loving, we're kind, we're thoughtful. We reach out, we make them feel at home. Amen? So let's go back to being a good example. That is being a good example. Let's go to 1 Peter, first chapter. First Peter, the first chapter, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. That's before we didn't know none of those things. We weren't that accountable when we didn't know, but we are now. But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means conduct and conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. I love it when the songs and testimonies go right along with the Word of God. Because when the choir was singing up here, all I could see was this church and all kinds of churches marching down the road. Ark is coming down the road. And then I just seen the whole heavens open up and just millions and millions of people worshiping God. And you can't control your emotions when you see that kind of stuff. You're gonna reach out. You're gonna thank God. You're gonna praise Him. You're gonna do whatever it takes to let Him know how you feel. Don't quench the Spirit of God. I've seen it happen behind this pulpit or up in this altar several times lately, when God started moving on individuals, and they kind of wanted to go, but they didn't let it go. Let it go. There's a scripture here. Do not quench the Spirit of God. Because when he moves on you, you never know who he's going to move on after that. The whole church might get a blessing. Amen? Amen. I remember right over in that part of the altar there, we had about 5 or 6 guitar players in it. God started moving one night. 2 or 3 of them jumped off that altar and were out there jumping around playing the guitars, and I thought the roof was going to blow off of this place. And then everybody in here got blessed. Don't you want that? Amen. We got to make the effort. He's not going to reach out to us every time. We got to reach out to him a little bit once in a while. First Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Don't you have a marvelous light tonight that you're living in? Man, I tell you what, I can't even think what it'd be like to live without God. Especially to be in a place with God that we are. Verse 10, which in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which has obtained mercy, but now have obtained, which did not obtain mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts, which war against the soul. Have your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold. Glorify God in the day of visitation. That's what we want. We want, if they're going to try to find fault with us, let them try to find fault out of something good, not something that's real. Amen. Let's go to Matthew, 5th chapter, verse 13. I hope everybody's following along in the Word of God with this here. Online too. Because we don't teach anything here that's not in black and white. And I talked to a young man the other day, and him and his mom are supposed to come because I told him we'd speak and teach straight out of the King James Version of the Bible. And he says, we've been to all kinds of churches and they don't teach it like that. I said, well, come on out. He said, we're coming out. So keep him and just keep people in your prayers, period. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 13. You're the salt of the earth, but if that salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. This is us. But we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Amen. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God which is in heaven. Now, I got a note for something on that there. What did I do with it? Because it was pretty cool. When I was studying this, I was talking about, man, I gotta find that note. It was talking about a fire when it goes out. It talks about the embers, but it talks about when it gets down to that point, you've lost your passion and your fire. You've lost the fire and compassion in your life or something. Maybe it's on the next page. Here it is. Embers. The embers that remain of passion, not yet extinguished, leftovers of a great emotion. That's what they are. There's embers. They're what's left of great emotion. especially love. Do you still have your first love and that passion that goes with it when you first receive the Holy Ghost? Ask yourself these questions. I do. I have to. When I study this stuff, sometimes I'm in tears, man, because I come up short on a lot of this stuff. I just try to do better. And that's the way we got to look at ourselves. We have to do it. Nobody else can look at us like that. We have to do the work. But the embers, the remains of passions, the not yet distinguished leftovers of a great emotion, they're not all the way out. You can fire them back up again. But it's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to anybody. If you don't have that fire, seek God for it. He'll give it to you. Amen? Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And studying this there, I went back in the Old Testament when God was telling his people not to join themselves to the pagans and all that stuff. But that hasn't changed. You're going to go one way or the other if you hang around long enough. If they don't come your way, you're going their way. Or you get lukewarm. You're in the middle. You don't want to hurt their feelings. They don't want to hurt yours. You just exist. That's not what the scriptures teach. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 14, we'll start there. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I shall be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now that's God talking to his people. If you want to be close to God, this is the way you have to live. We can drop down in verse 7 just for one verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This world is sadly, sadly lacking the fear of God. They think they can do anything they want to do, as much as they want to do it, as often as they want to do it. And you better accept it. If it's not in the Word of God, I can't accept it. Amen? And I won't accept it. I'll probably get a little jail time over that sometime if I live long enough. But I'm not going that route. I'm going with God, no matter what. Amen? Could get a little tough out there, folks. You ready for it? Because it's going to get tough. You're going to have to make a stand, whether you like it or not. It's coming. The bad is good, and the good is bad. And we are standing for the good. Amen? I know it's a little scary, but he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and I'll give you what you need when the time comes. So it all gets down to faith and trust in God before it's over with. Let's go to Titus, the 2nd chapter. This here is how a saint of God should live, how they should conduct herself in every situation. Don't be a stumbling block for people. You know what? You can be a stumbling block for your own brothers and sisters in church. Not just somebody out in the world, but somebody in church. You can say or do something in front of them, and they won't understand it. Depends on where they're at spiritually. And if it's something that's not right, God, you shouldn't be doing it anyway. But you're accountable. We're all accountable. If we do anything that causes a stumbling block to anybody, we're accountable. Amen? Titus, 2nd chapter, verse 1. But speak thou things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, love, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not fake, not false accusers, not giving much too much wine, teachers of good things. We don't think much about that back in the old days, but there was plenty of wine around. And women used to go house to house. And that's sometimes that could be a bad deal. There can be things said in conversation over a glass of wine after a couple of glasses of wine that you can't take back. And that could be a problem for everybody involved. Not only the hearer, but where it goes from there. You know, slander and things of that nature, they can destroy a person. They can wreck his reputation or her reputation, never to be repaired again. There's things that are proven that were a lie, and nobody ever goes back and makes it right. So there's a lot of people that still believe the lie. The best way to get away from that is don't do any of that. Don't say anything that's not godly. Amen. Uplifting, positive about somebody. Verse 4, that they may teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of the home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptibleness, creativity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. There we go again. You're a good example. You're living the life that the Bible teaches you're supposed to live. If they find fault with you, it's because of the good you do, not the bad. And there was less slaves in them days, and they didn't have an easy life either, but their masters had an obligation to treat them right too. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. That means don't give them a hard time when they tell you to go do something. Just do it. Do it as unto God. I mean, some of these things apply exactly today, or you just have to take the slave part of it, except for we are prisoners of love. Amen? We're prisoners of love. We do everything we do because we love God. And we don't murmur and complain about it. That's not pleasing to God. Not at all. You do it out of a joyful heart. Verse 10, not prolonging, but showing all fidelity, and they may adorn the doctrine of God and our Savior in all things. That scripture right there means that you're going to be honest. Your boss has to realize that when he goes to town, he has to go get something, or he's not on the job, that it's still going to get done. You're not taking anything home from the job that's not yours. Honesty. That whoever you're involved with, in charge, that they can trust you no matter what. That the job's going to be done when they get back. And everything's going to be in place. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world. That is us. That's the way we're supposed to live. Ungodly and worldly lusts we shouldn't be doing. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You all looking for that tonight? You looking for him to come back? Because I'll tell you what, if you're not now, you're going to be. Because this is going to be bad enough, you don't want to be here. You're going to make sure that you're ready to go. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke in all authority. Let no man despise thee. If God puts it on my heart to teach it, I'm teaching it. Because it's in his word, it's going to be taught just like it is in his word. Let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter. We're winding down, folks. But this is important. This is very important. We want to live a life that always brings glory to God. That he can be proud of us and say, there's our people. That's my people down there. This people over here, not quite so good. But them people, they're doing good. That's what we want God to do, because he's watching us. This is all real. This is more real than we're sitting here. This spiritual world made what we can see with our eyes. So how much more real is that spiritual world? I know a lot of this stuff has been said over the years. But this is a reminder, because our spiritual ears get dull real quick, and our memory gets, it's in the back of our memory. We hear it again, we wake right up. But as far as living it every day, we need reminders once in a while. Ephesians, first chapter, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Boy, has he. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Don't you want to live like that? Don't you want God to be able to say that about you? Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. This is all God's doing. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of the sins according to the riches of his grace. We just need to think about where we came from. We don't want to forget where we came from. I mean, that's kind of foggy to me out there. When I think about stuff, it's like I could never think or act like that. But yeah, I did. And I don't ever want to forget to treat people that don't know what I know, to give them the same opportunity that I got. Because he expects us to. Amen? Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Think what you already know about God. He didn't know anything before he came to God. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in himself, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to his purpose, of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also trusted after. If you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, and you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Remember the day you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise? just like it was yesterday, right? 45 years ago today, we pulled in this parking lot out here. I wasn't fortunate enough to get the Holy Ghost the first day like my wife. It took me about 3.5 months, but it was worth the wait. And it wasn't God's fault, it was mine. Let's finish this up right now with a little hope. We can always, we got to remember we're working for something. We're working for a payday. This is temporary. The one we got coming up is eternal. Amen? That's the one we're going to keep our eyes on. And that, we're all set up to keep your eyes off of this. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and we'll start out in verse 11. I hope you're really thinking about what's coming across this pulpit tonight, this Word of God. Because this is food for the soul, man. You take this stuff to heart, and you take the responsibility that goes along with it, and the end result is ours. It's our, the only thing that can stop us is us. Amen? We're the only thing that can stop what we got going right now is us, our lack of obedience to this Word of God. And don't take this lightly. Please don't take this lightly. Because I can tell you, it was very serious when I was praying about this stuff. It was very, very serious. So I don't know what goes on in people's minds or how they feel about certain things, but I do know how I feel when I pray about something and I study and, and these scriptures start popping up. Sometimes I even see faces. And it's kind of scary sometimes, too. But it's for our own good. God doesn't want anybody to fail. He wants us to look at ourselves, make the changes so we can spend eternity with Him. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Anything wrong with that? I mean, God loves us, man. Look what He's done for us, just in this life. Man. Think of what it'd be like out there right now if you didn't have the Holy Ghost. As crazy as it is out there. You didn't have any hope in your life. The hope in God is not that it's not going to happen. We just don't know when it's going to happen. When you're hoping in the world, it's well, you hope this is going to happen. We know it's going to happen. We just don't know when. Amen? That's the difference between worldly hope and godly hope. We know it's going to happen. If we have faith and trust in God, we know He's going to keep His word. He says, this is what we got waiting for us if we keep our nose clean and obey His word. 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter, verse 11. And to study, to be quiet, and to do your own business. Now, I looked that up. Take your own inventory. It says, study. Study. Be quiet. As they say in Mexico, poco, poco, take it easy. Don't be concerned with everything that goes on around. Worry about your family and your own walk with God. Don't be a busybody. Don't get involved in other people's things that don't concern you. It comes right out and says it, mind your own business when you study this thing. Every place I looked, it said, mind your own business. So. Anyway, it says, study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands. And that means to provide, do all you can do for you and your family if you're able, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly towards them that are without, that you may lack of nothing. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have hope, though. For if we believe in that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This is what I'm looking forward to. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. In this last line, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is our hope and our comfort. Saints, this is what it's all about. We have to keep this in our mind that we're working for something. This is not just we're going to retire here pretty quick and be able to cruise for a couple of days. This is for eternity, to be with our Lord for eternity. And what a day that's going to be. I've got to tell a little story real quick here. One time we were working down the Aleutian chain on a jack-up oil rig, brand new one. And when you come in the door, they had it set up where they give you brand new tenor shoes and new coveralls. The thing was spotless. They wanted you to not get any grease or anything on the floors. And so Buck was working with me at the time. And we were talking to a lot of different people and telling them about the rapture going to take place and all these things. And you know, some were scoffers and mockers and all that stuff, which you're always going to get. But anyway, we had to take our car hearts off and put on these coveralls, these nice green, olive green. They weren't olive, they were kind of a green, you know, kind of even almost like a fluorescent green coveralls and white tenor shoes. And so when he took off his coveralls, his shirt stayed in there, and I think some kind of pants stayed in there too. So he held them up by the straps like this here, and he started shaking them. He said, "He's gone. I told you he was going to leave. The rapture took place." You should have seen all these look on these guys' faces, because it looked real. It looked just like it's going to happen. I mean, it really did. It was almost like a supernatural moment. Man, I'm tell you what, even the scoffers kept their mouth shut for a couple of days on that one. But just the little things in my life, it always made me chuckle and just let me know how real God was, you know, and he is, and how he just really, really tries to reach people. It doesn't make any difference if it's kind of funny or not funny or whatever. But we got a God that really cares about us, loves us, loves humanity, doesn't want anybody to fail, especially his people. So give it your best shot this week. Do all you can do to share this gospel with whoever you run into, because we're living in a hurting world. This is a hurting world. People are desperate. They're hopeless. They're desperate. They don't know what's going to happen. That's just in our country, all over this world. So as you gather together up here to either seek the Holy Ghost, tell God how thankful you are for what he's done for you. Just want to just talk to him. Just keep all these things in mind, how much he really loves us, and show him how much you really love him. Amen. Amen. I love you all. Have a good week. And thanks again for your prayers. I wouldn't have made it without you, I'll tell you. I wouldn't have made it today without you. I'll tell you what, it's amazing how many things Satan can do in certain ways to hinder you, man. When I'm not going to quit. I don't care what happens to me. I'm going to, if I have to crawl, I'm going to crawl. But man, I'll tell you what, sometimes you get tried, I'll tell you, to the utmost. Anyway, I'll be quiet.